Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after midnight here on the WGN Radio Theater. It is program 221 in the series, a little late start because of Cubs coverage. And to my right, the very vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl? We know we have a late start, but we're glad to at least be on at midnight.
That's right. We still have 2 hours of classic radio for you. And in the booth, we have Shantae Garth. And we're going to start things off in just a few minutes with Suspense. Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Agnes Moorehead. Then it's the Great Gildersleeve, a Halloween party show, and that'll take us up till 2 o'clock in the morning. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Avengers Infinity War about the Avengers who joined forces with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
And the winner is going to get 2 tickets to see the Hippocrates Dracula, which is a modern take on the classic tale, playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
Wow, very cool. I'd see that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Wow. Dracula. Well, that's impressive.
Of course. Yes. The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the co-star of Don John.
Because you're a grown man. I mean, you shouldn't be cleaning your own floors.
Yeah.
That's what I say to you.
You know what I'm saying.
Do you clean your own floors, Carl?
Yes, I actually
do.
Do
you?
Yeah, I'm
on your hands and knees with a scrub brush?
On my hands and knees, sure.
With a toothbrush?
Not a toothbrush. I'm going to use your toothbrush to do it.
You don't use a toothbrush.
Take your toothbrush. And then I'll bring it back next week after I clean my floors.
And I will use it.
All right. Do you know who that great actress is? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
And we are on the air. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
Because you're a grown man. I mean, you shouldn't be cleaning your own floors.
See?
Lewis.
And Shantae took a call off the air. David knew that was Scarlett Johansson. So he has won 2 tickets to the Hippocrates Dracula. It's a modern take on the classic tale. It's now playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago through November 5th. For tickets, you can call 773-325-1700. Congratulations to David.
I have a question for you, Lisa.
Yes, Carl.
Do you want to know the best way to keep yourself warm this winter? Two words.
Oh, you didn't let me answer.
What?
I was going to say, snuggle up with somebody you love.
No. Heat holders. Heat holders makes the warmest socks around to keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. And do you know how they do it? Heat holders uses a 3-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making heat holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. Heat holders will pamper your feet. Heat holders also makes hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love heat holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN and save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. And remember, to go to heatholders.com, use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com. All right.
Okay, you asked a question, but you didn't let me answer.
Well, you will be very warm this winter because I know you have the heat holder socks.
That is true. I can't wait to wear them.
I'm getting you a heat holder's hat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I'll take a scarf, too, as long as you're offering.
She already took the throw. She already took the throw.
I did.
Yeah, I wanted that. And she just was like,
It was gray, and it was really soft.
Really soft. It's really nice.
Ultra soft.
You know what? On the cold, it's cold winters, you'll just wrap up in that.
And I don't really share
well. You'll watch TV, and you'll have that throw.
Yeah, and hat and gloves are good, too. And don't forget the scarf.
Terrific products, folks. Stay warm and keep your family warm this winter. Go to heatholders.com. Make sure you use the promo code WGN. Save 15%. All right. You know what? We're going to kick off our Halloween programming with one of the most famous radio shows of all time, Suspense, Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Agnes Moorehead. And this is a broadcast from February 24th, 1944. You're going to love this. Let's tune this in. Part one now of Suspense.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud!
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, we bring you, in response to requests from many thousands of listeners, Miss Agnes Moorehead, in one of the most famous suspense plays this series has ever presented, Sorry, Wrong Number. And now with Lucille Fletcher's study in terror called Sorry, Wrong Number, and with the performance of Agnes Moorehead, we again hope to keep you in Suspense.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I would be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? George?
Yes, sir, this is George speaking.
Hello? Who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay, okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address.
Yes, I know, I know. Let's see now. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right. 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street.
Okay, okay.
What's that? Oh, just a minute, George. Oh. Our client tells me that at 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. That's 11:15, the train, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember everything else, George?
Yes, yeah. I'll make it quick, as little blood as possible, because our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes, a knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer because our client wishes it to look like a simple robbery. Don't worry, everything's okay. I know.
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful. Oh,
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder. And, operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We just got to.
What number are you calling?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? Do you mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now look. Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number. And I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40098. I will try to get it for you.
Thank you. Takes much
time. I am sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you
operator,
in...
Operator!
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Well, please. This talk, I can't make it. I understand. It takes so much time.
This is the chief operator.
Oh, chief operator. I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
Well, I'm not certain. It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But
and
listen.
Your telephone number, please.
Plaza 32098. But if you go on wasting all
why
this
time... Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Oh, no reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call... Just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to do it.
It's ridiculous. Crazy such nonsense. It's utter nonsense.
Your call, please?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. Ringing the police department.
Oh, can't you ring them direct? It's time.
Police station, precinct 43, Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid, and I guess in the end you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on Second Avenue.
And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
Yeah. Yes, I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What's your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
5353 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge, the Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. And the Second Avenue is the next...
And what was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean Murray Hill 40098 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home.
Yeah.
I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Miss Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call of the parties that stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, don't you worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from Second Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
Well, what makes you think the murder's going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. Second Avenue with the patrolman, the bridge.
Second Avenue, you know, is a very long street, ma'am. And you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone. Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Queens, and the Bronx.
I know all that.
How do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island, on some little Second Avenue you never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Well, maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
No.
You know, telephones are funny things. Now, look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not, only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
Well, a lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We manage to prevent almost all of them, but a clue this kind is so vague, there's much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you can...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no. No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody?
Well,
I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid Eloise. She's a big 200-pounder.
Yeah.
She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He adores me. He waits on me hand and foot and has scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Yeah, well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. And now if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. So, good night, ma'am, and thank you.
Oh, you idiot. No, why did I hang up the phone like that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? The operator again.
All right, let's pause right here on this intense episode of Suspense. Sorry, wrong number. Starring Agnes Moorehead from 1944. More after these words. All right, after the news, we will tune into the conclusion to Sorry, Wrong Number on Suspense. Then it's a Halloween party on the Great Gildersleeve. But first, the news with Roger Badish. And there's no sponsor, Roger, so you're doing it solo. Yeah, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys, too.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you,
hi.
Lisa? I know we're supposed to do the news, Carl, but she said hi, so I'm going to say hi.
It's okay. Back. Say hi embedded in the news.
Okay. Hi.
We are the news, Roger.
Yes, you are the news.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know what? Lisa Wolf is not happy. She does not have enough social media coming in here.
Oh.
Not enough texts.
No, not happy.
Not enough texts.
I didn't know.
Lisa likes texts from our listeners. She loves answering your questions. She loves reading your comments. So the number to text in, folks, 312-981-7200. We are sorry for the late start. There was coverage for the Cubs. They lost. Ugh, I was watching that game. It was very depressing, Lisa. Very, very depressing.
You look depressed.
When the Cubs don't win, I'm in a bad mood.
I've noticed.
Can you tell I'm a little
You're always
grumpy?
Like that.
I'm a little grumpy tonight.
You're always grumpy.
When the Cubs win, I'm real happy.
I've never
jumping
picked
all
up
around
on that.
And, you know, but
you're not a jumpy around kind of a guy.
When the Cubs win, I'm pretty
really?
I'm
Never
pretty excited.
Seen that.
He's pretty jumpy.
You
Is
know,
he?
My son and I
Not by the time he gets here, Roger.
Oh, Roger, you know what we did?
Okay.
We ordered a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Ooh, great way to enjoy the game.
Lou Malnati's.
Yeah.
And had half spinach because I like spinach.
All right.
And then my son and I watched the Cubs game, and when that home run, when that
eighth inning. Bottom of the eighth, and we were up 3-1.
Hey, my son was like,
hey, you guys, we had enough Cubs coverage for the night, I think. I think it's time to move on.
My son
We're
was
venting, all right? Give us a chance to vent.
We have a lot of listeners who've had enough of the Cubs, so
But
okay.
You know what, Roger? They're coming back here.
Yep,
we're at
Monday.
Home on Monday,
yeah.
And we're going to win that game and then win the next game.
And you got me tickets for that, right?
Yeah, we're going. We're sitting Skybox.
Skybox.
You know what? I'll even come for that.
They have great taffy apples in the Skybox.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a
good
minute.
Taffy
Not
apples.
Taffy apples.
Well,
taffy tapples.
They're apple tappies.
I like
apple
the ones taffy? That have chocolate taffy, on the outside of the caramel. It has to have caramel and chocolate.
Yeah.
We'll give you a chocolate bar.
I wonder what kind of apple taffy Agnes Moorehead would have liked to eat while she was...
Well, I don't know. She was an invalid.
Get stuck
she,
in her teeth.
I don't think that would have been good for her.
Are you enjoying this Sorry Wrong Number episode, Roger?
You know I love this. It's a classic.
Yeah, it's a great
It's great. Awesome. And, I mean, the radio, the way they made it for radio from the movie script...
No. It was the opposite. So first
it was originally a movie.
No. It was originally a radio. Yes, Lucille Fletcher wrote this. It was on Suspense. I think 9 times.
Wow.
Agnes Moorehead used her dog-eared script on every. She used the same script on all 9 times that she did it, and then they adapted the radio show into a movie.
Okay, all right.
And Lucille Fletcher had a hand in that, and then Barbara Stanwyck played this role. And was nominated for an Academy Award. She didn't win, but she was nominated for it. Yeah.
Roger, did you see the picture of Agnes Moorehead that we posted when she was in Bewitched?
I'm sorry. I've got to go look for it.
Check out our Facebook page.
Yeah, okay.
It's on there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing picture.
Yeah, there's a great picture of her actually performing this episode of Suspense. Yep. And then we have a picture of her as Endora.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love
a color picture. All right, let's get back to this now. The conclusion to Sorry Wrong Number on Suspense.
Oh. Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you.
Oh. Got me so nervous. Oh.
I'm sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call
you. I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. Oh. If I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air or just lean out of the window and see the street. Hello? Albert? Hello? Hello? Oh, what's the matter with his phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? 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 What are they trying to do to me? Oh. Answer somebody. Answer somebody.
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, look.
Look, I'm an invalid and I'm very nervous and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so. And when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I am sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I cannot do that.
You can't? And why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic.
Oh.
If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Well, of all the stupid... And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed, suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble for you, madam.
Check it. That's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. I'll fix her. Molly, impudent. How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she speak to me like that? No satisfaction out of anybody. I'll answer.
Your call, please?
Young woman, I don't know your name, but there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence it has ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory, or you may secure it by dialing...
Listen here, you... Oh, what's the use? Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind, out of my mind. Hello, hello, stop ringing, do you hear? Answer me, who is this? You realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now stop it, stop it, stop it, I say. Hello, hello, if you don't stop ringing, I'm going to call the police, do you hear? The police! Oh, if Albert would only come home. Oh, let it ring, let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer it. I won't answer it. I won't. Even if it goes on ringing all night, I won't answer it. I won't answer it. Now? Now what's the matter? Why do they stop ringing all of a sudden? What time is it? Where's my clock? Where is it? 5 to 11. They've decided something. They sure I'm home. They've heard my voice answering them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why no one has answered me. Oh. Oh. Oh, where is she? Where is she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
Sorry, the line is busy. I will call you.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, no, I've got to speak to them now. It may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
You will find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use the book.
I will connect you with information. Perhaps she will be able to help you.
No, no. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die, and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it. Stop it. I can't stand anymore. Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it.
Hello, is this Plaza 32099?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 32099.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Albert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. No. Oh, no. I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick. It's some trick. Some
your call, please?
Operator, try that Murray Hill 40098 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? Oh, but I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to some consideration.
This is information. May I help you?
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C-H-L.
One moment, please.
Please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 89970.
You.
Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Nurse's registry.
Who was it you wished to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are war times, you know. Registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset, very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. A woman's going to be killed when a train... In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. What is your name,
Miss Phillips. And when do you expect her in?
I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? Oh, it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That clicked just now in my own telephone. As though someone has lifted the receiver off the hook, off the extension telephone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about...
But I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet and they'll think. And if I don't call someone now, while they're still down there, there'll be no time.
Your call, please.
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
Oh, dear, there's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I am sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with... There it is. He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming upstairs. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Okay. Please. I know. Oh, no. Oh, no, come here. Oh, please, I didn't do anything. Oh, no, come here. Please, don't. Please, don't. Ah!
Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department.
Paula, I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
And so closes Sorry, Wrong Number, starring Agnes Moorehead. Tonight's tale of suspense. Before we tell you about next week's stars and story, Roma Wines, sponsor of these weekly suspense dramas, asks you to consider this.
When entertaining guests at your home, are you able to go into your Roma wine cellar and say, which would you prefer, this delightful sherry or this sweeter, heavier port? Whichever of these or any others of the many equally fine Roma California wines you offered your guest, they would find you had poured a world of satisfaction into their glasses. If you are not one of the millions already enjoying these good Roma wines, don't put off this great treat another day. You'll be surprised at the tiny cost your Roma wine dealer will ask for such great enjoyment. Only pennies a glass by actual check. Now you can boast of your own private wine cellar, your private Roma wine cellar. And then, inspired by the great qualities of Roma wines, you will add your voice to the swelling international chorus that says, Roma wines are truly magnificent. Let me repeat the name. R-O-M-A, Roma wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Agnes Moorehead. I'm always flattered and delighted when I'm asked to appear on Suspense because I have such very great admiration for this program. I know you'll want to be listening next week, as I will, when Michelle Morgan and Philip Dorn will be your stars with George Caloris. One more word. The attack for victory is on. You help make the victory surer and bring it sooner when you buy more war bonds.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Don't forget then next Monday, same time, for Michelle Morgan, Philip Dorn, with George Caloris in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Probably the most famous episode of Suspense, I believe it was 8 or 9 times. It was performed by Agnes Moorehead, a classic written by Lucille Fletcher. That was originally broadcast February 24th, 1944. You know, the interesting thing, Lisa, I think this was the second time it aired. The very first time it aired, and I have the broadcast, they messed up at the end of the show. They had a big mess up at the end of the show, and people didn't really get what happened, that the guy really came in, and it was her that, you know, was the whole focus of this murder, you know, that it was her husband that set up to have, some guy come in there and kill her. And people, thousands and tens of thousands of letters came pouring into CBS. What happened? We don't understand what happened because it was a really bad mess up by the sound guy and stuff like that. So then I believe this was the second broadcast, second or third. And, of course, they got it right this time. And then it was so popular, people were like, oh, my gosh, it was amazing. Then they made the movie out of it.
Right.
And they just kept airing it all the way to the end of the run. Agnes Moorehead was the only person who did it on Suspense. I'm surprised that she didn't star in the movie, although she was not as big of a star as Barbara Stanwyck. I mean, Barbara Stanwyck was a number one box office actress, and Agnes Moorehead was more a radio and a supporting player, so I'm sure that's why. And then, of course, on television, she was Endora on Bewitched, which she's probably best known for.
Yeah, what an amazing role. I know we've heard that she didn't love that role.
No,
we loved her in that role.
She often talked about how she felt it was sort of beneath her, that she didn't think it was really that great of a part. In fact, when she didn't think the series would last. She did the first season and thought, oh, this is kooky, you know, be a witch, you know, twinkle her nose.
It was kooky, but it worked.
Yeah, and she was great in the role.
Oh, she was fantastic.
Yeah. All right, I hope you enjoyed that, folks. So let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Hi, I'm Margalite, president of Home Care Assistance, Chicagoland's premier in-home senior care company. I understand firsthand the rewards and challenges that come with caring for an aging loved one. In fact, my grandmother was one of our first clients, so I know that Home Care Assistance can help remove some of your worry and allow your loved one to continue to live safely and happily at home. We base our care on our exclusive Balanced Care Method, an award-winning program designed to strengthen the mind, improve health, and positively impact outlook on life. We focus on quality of life care for our clients. The Home Care Assistance care managers create a personalized care plan and match the right caregiver, someone who has the specific skill set and the heart to help your family member stay happy, safe, and active at home. You're not alone. Visit homecareassistancechicago.com or call me at 312-380-6716. I'd love to tell you about our quality of life programs. Again, that's 312-380-6716. We are Home Care Assistants.
Chicago's political conversation, the Sunday Spin.
The fallout by Illinois Republicans over Governor Rauner's signature on an abortion expansion bill continues. We'll speak to GOP House Floor Leader Peter Breen. Plus, it's Manufacturing Month, but would you know it in Illinois? We'll speak to the CEO of the state's manufacturers group.
The Sunday Spin with Chicago Tribune political reporter Rick Pearson, later this morning at 7 on 720 WGN.
When you have kids, you're always on the go.
Mom!
Dad!
Hurry up, we're late!
And they always want to know.
What's up?
Where to?
Who's going?
That's why you need a source that keeps you in the know on everything that's making headlines in your neighborhood. From the ins and outs of your community to the latest and greatest events near you. Discover your suburban publication and start knowing, going, seeing, doing, and experiencing today. Visit SuburbanTribune.com to start discovering your neighborhood.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
Folks, when shopping for a home mortgage, how much is great service, low closing costs, and competitive interest rates worth to you? At Townstone Financial, it's priceless. Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of Townstone Financial. Let's hear about the Townstone experience from a VA client.
I do have a very close personal friend. Him and his wife were both Army. They did a couple tours. They were denied their VA loan at the 11th hour. They got the carpet pulled from underneath them. So, you know, you hear horror stories like that. With you guys going through the VA process, you guys really did most of the legwork. I mean, just a matter of getting my paperwork in order and making sure you guys had the right documents so that you could push it through, make it happen, and get us the keys to our new home.
Remember, nobody values your home mortgage business more than Townstone. I guarantee it, and I own the company. So call me now, Barry Sterner, at 312-896-2110. That's 312-896-2110. Or go to townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com.
Townstone Financials, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Illinois, mortgage licensee 6629 and NMLS 136639, equal housing lender.
All right, we're listening to Halloween programming, Lisa, all the way through the end of October. We'll have all your favorite scary shows and some comedy shows that have to do with Halloween as well.
People ask for more scary shows all the time. This is your month.
Yeah, this is absolutely your month. All right, we have a Halloween party on the Great Gildersleeve from 1943. That's in our next hour right here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. And this is it's actually hour two, but it's sort of like hour three because we had an hour, we got pushed an hour, right?
Nobody pushes you, Carl.
You know, we normally have 3 hours here, folks, from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., but because of Cubs coverage, we started at midnight, and gosh, I hope people didn't the show's not on, so go to bed. Because we got a lot of texts from people who said, we didn't know you were on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We actually didn't know until last minute that we were going to be preempted either, but Sorry, but tonight.
Sorry, wrong number.
Sorry, wrong number. But tonight, Sunday night, we will have the full 3 hours. So we hope that you'll.
I hope so. I hope so.
We hope you'll stay up with us.
And Dan Jaffe said he would be here tomorrow.
Tonight.
to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So if you haven't gotten your picture in of your kitty cat.
This is your last chance.
Send it in. You have about 20-something hours to do that. So send in a picture of your kitty cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com and include your name and your cat's name and your city and state. And you'll be entered in, and Dan may pick you to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. All right, in this hour, it's The Great Gildersleeve from 1943, a good Halloween party show, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film Deadpool 2, the sequel to 2016 film Deadpool and the 12th installment in the X-Men film series.
All righty.
And the winner is going to get a special Halloween prize. It is two tickets to see the Hippocrates Dracula. It's a modern take on the classic tale, and it's now playing at Mercury Theater Chicago.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Take a listen to who this great actor is.
Not big on cats.
Spooky.
All right, who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. He stars in Deadpool. We'll have our winner find him right after these words. All right, I don't think I have a rejoin. I don't see one. I don't have any kind of a thing. Normally, I have something that I say here.
You don't have
here.
A thing?
I don't have anything to say here.
You got
if
lots
I
of
do,
things to say.
He always has something to say, doesn't
see.
He?
No.
Yeah.
Just make it up,
never been
Carl.
A loss for words.
Yeah. What are you going to
make it
do?
Up?
You want
right,
to sing
Rob.
A song? Or you go,
so
you
we have a winner?
Back?
Oh, we do have a winner.
Roger Badish is our winner?
Roger is
I
a winner.
I won again? Oh, my gosh.
Roger,
thank you
tickets
so
to see
much.
Dracula.
You are a winner. Should we just go right into our contest?
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to play that movie clip one more time.
Not big on cats.
Spooky.
And Shantae took a call offline, and Steve knew that that was Ryan Reynolds. So Steve is a big winner. He has won two tickets to Hippocrates Dracula. It's a modern take on the classic tale. It's supposedly sexy and funny and scary, edge of your seat kind of show. It's now playing at Mercury Theater Chicago through November 5th. For tickets, you can call 773-325-1700. So congratulations to Steve. I'm going to see it too. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah?
Of course.
Want to see it?
Dracula, I'm talking
Count
about.
Count Dracula.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to.
Yeah, very
sounds like
cool.
A lot of fun.
I want to. Mercury Theater puts on great.
Well, you know what? I might be able to hook you up, Carl.
I'd like to see it.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I just thought of something. I'm going to bring you guys a present.
Okay,
oh, yeah?
I love presents.
What are you going to bring us?
Remember the waxed stuff that you used to get for
the
Halloween?
Lips.
Waxed teeth.
Waxed teeth,
yeah,
waxed
wax
lips and stuff like that?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm gonna get some and bring them in for us.
Oh, wow.
How did you just happen to think of that?
I don't know. It was Halloween and Dracula, and I that was a memory from childhood. And,
yeah,
well,
I love
as
that.
Fibber used to say to Harlow, thanks, yeah. Waxy.
Well, bring one for you, too, and we'll all take pictures with our waxed teeth.
You got
teeth.
A deal.
All right. Thank you, Roger. That'll be fun.
Can
hey,
we
you know
eat
what?
It too?
Roger, you know what?
What?
Next week we're going to celebrate Lisa's birthday.
Oh, yay! My gosh.
More cake.
I already bought her a pretty cool present.
Nice.
I do like presents.
Yeah, and I have like
I'm
three
like a child.
Things. I'm giving her one kind of big present, one small present, and then she wants a chocolate-covered apple.
So she a wants chocolate caramel apple.
Yeah, she wants a chocolate caramel apple.
Do they make
so,
those
yeah.
specifically?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like
you know
everywhere.
What?
They're everywhere right
Carl,
now.
Buy a caramel apple and just dip it in the chocolate.
Ah, yeah.
No, you got to go to one of the fancy chocolate shops. You know, they've got like M&Ms on
oh,
them
yeah,
and chocolate.
Yeah,
something delicious.
Right, we'll bring you something too.
Okay.
All right. Did you know, Lisa, that this week on Chicago's Best, it's all about Madison Street? From east to west, CB is covering the best of Madison Street, Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Did you know that?
No, who's CB?
Now you know. Chicago's Best,
oh,
CB.
Oh, Chicago's Best. I hear you. Okay.
All right. So it is time for The Great Gildersleeve. This is my brother's least favorite radio series.
And I like it even more now.
And it's one of my favorite. You know, my brother's very crabby.
I know.
Oh, my God. He's but really
I
crabby
like
tonight because the Cubs lost. Oh, man. I was driving here, and he called me, and he was just going on and on and on.
Oh, negative energy, Carl.
Gosh,
Come on.
But anyway, it's time for The Great Gildersleeve. Let's go back to Halloween, October 31st, 1943. It's a Halloween party. Here is Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Cheese Company will also bring you the Kraft Music Hall every Thursday night. Present each week at this time Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. Now let's see what goes on at the home of the great Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. It's Saturday evening, the day before Halloween, and his niece is giving a dance. All afternoon, he's been rolling up carpets, putting extra leaves in the dining room table, carrying out furniture, and carrying it in again. But now that the heavy work is done, he finds himself brushed aside. After an early makeshift supper, he wanders forlornly out to the kitchen to watch last-minute preparations there.
Oh, what are you making there, Bertie? Frosting?
Yes, sir.
Say, that looks mighty good. You mind if I just...
Come on. Mr. Gildersleeve, a man can lose a finger that way.
It's wonderful, though, Bertie. Say, don't you think you've beaten that about enough?
Ain't sure if it's stiff enough.
Oh, well, I'll just see.
Oh, the Lord, really?
Just tasting it, my dear.
Mr. Gildersleeve, if you keep tasting, there ain't gonna be frost enough to put in your eye.
Who wants it in his eye? You'd like to put a little on a piece of bread now.
Oh, Lord, go out and play.
Yes, go out and play.
Bertie, don't you think it's about time we take another peek at that cake?
Cake? I'll do it.
Stay away from that oven. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but you want that cake to fall?
I was just trying to help.
Run along, Uncle Mort. I'll look at the cake, Bertie. You either.
What?
If some of the people don't get out of this kitchen, I'm going to go clean out of my mind.
Well, Bertie, I was just...
Well, you more trouble than all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Want me to fix a party? You got to give me a chance. I ain't no Superman. No, sir. All I got's two hands. Pain to come in here tracking dirt.
Come on, Marjorie. I think Bertie wants to be alone. Let's go in the other room. After you.
Oh, Leroy, for heaven's sake.
I am Frankenstein the Wolfman. I eat up little girls.
Let go!
I walked with a zombie. The undying monster.
Leroy.
The living dead.
Stop that and take off that mask.
It's only me, Unc. Did I scare you?
Yes. I don't know how you expect to scare anybody. You've been going around in that rig scaring people for a week.
Well, I'm just practicing being horrible.
You don't need any practice.
Uncle Mort, you make him promise to keep away from my party. I just know he's going to... Oh, that's probably for me.
Don't worry, Glamour Puss. I wouldn't be caught dead at your party.
Hello? Is that you?
No, it's me.
Oh, I couldn't tonight, Lester. No, I'm sorry. No, I couldn't possibly.
Why don't you tell him you're giving a party and he's not invited?
Shut up, Leroy.
Let her alone, Leroy.
Pardon the interruption. Brad again. Go on, tell me all about it.
I don't know what kind of a Halloween party this is anyway. No games, no pumpkins.
What did you used to do on Halloween, Unc?
Oh, we did a lot of things, my boy. Made jack-o'-lanterns, bobbed for apples.
Pretty corny. Yeah. What else?
Well, we had one little trick.
Yeah? What was it?
Well, we used to take two buckets of water.
Yeah?
And when it got dark, we'd put them on each side of somebody's front walk, and we'd tie them together with a piece of cord across the walk, and then when somebody came along, well, you can imagine.
Hey, that's great.
It was a very thoughtless, wicked thing to do, Leroy. I hope you will never do anything like that.
Are you kidding?
I mean it. Somebody might trip and hurt themselves badly. Remember that.
Yes, sir.
There's one other thing to remember.
What's that?
Only fill the buckets halfway. It won't work if they're full.
Oh, my goodness. Go to the door, somebody. I'm on the phone.
Well, get off it.
I'll go.
Oh, I've got to hang up now. Goodbye, Lester.
Yeah, so much for Lester.
It's Wally Hawk.
Wally Hawk.
Well, the kid himself. Hiya, Junior. What are you supposed to be?
Frank
Frankenstein.
Oh, blow me down.
Talk to Wally, will you, Uncle Mort? I'll be right down, Wally. I've got to run up and put on some lipstick.
What for? It's coming right up. take these records, will you, son? And don't drop them. Got a couple of real oldies there. Red nickels.
Gosh.
Mr. Hoff, my name is Gildersleeve. I'm Marjorie's uncle.
Oh, hi. Heard a lot about you.
I've heard a lot about you, too.
Favorable, I trust. Anybody tune this so-called piano lately?
Young man, that's a Wembley.
Oh, not bad.
Hey, Wally, I can play a boogie bass now like you showed me. Look.
Hey, that's not it. Look out.
I didn't do it right. Let me just...
Look out. Let me at it. Like music, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I like music, yes. Mr. Hoff, would you mind telling me something?
Not at all. Shoot.
That sweatshirt you're wearing, is that customary these days? At dances, I mean?
What else?
In my day, we wore tuxedos. And we didn't wrestle. We danced.
Oh, your day, your day. Your day is over, Uncle Mort.
Yes, yes, I guess it is.
Well, don't stop, Wally. Give out.
What'll it be, gorgeous?
Oh, anything at all. Only give. The party's dying and it hasn't even started. Uncle Mort, I don't want to be rushing you, but the gang will be here any minute.
I can take a hint.
Well, take Leroy with you. Why don't you see if Mrs. Ransom's doing anything tonight?
Maybe I will, and maybe I won't.
Oh, that's it. Play that.
On with the dance. Let joy be unrefined.
Oh, brother. Even in my... Come on, Frankenstein. This is no place for us.
Gosh, it's dark out, isn't it?
Wally Hoff.
He's a swell piano player, Unc.
You stick to Bach.
That sounds like Piggy. Hey, Pig, wait up! That's his signal. See you later, Unc.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
I won't ask you to keep out of mischief, Leroy. Just keep out of jail.
Okay. Where are you going, Mrs. Ransom?
Never mind. Run along.
Hey, Pig, wait for Frankenstein.
Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do. If I want to call on Leela, I will. And if I don't, I won't. Just hope she's in, that's all.
Boof.
Yeah.
Throckmorton, you mustn't do that.
Yeah, but it's Halloween, Leela.
No, it's not. Tomorrow's Halloween.
I know, but they're celebrating it tonight. What are you doing, Leela?
Well, I had this date for tonight, but at the last minute I was unable to go on account of a headache.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes.
Well, perhaps some other time.
Oh, I feel much better now.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh. Isn't that lucky?
Will you go to the movies with me?
Well, I don't know about tonight, Throckmorton. I'm just scared to death of ghosts and witches and all.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be with you.
Promise you'll stay close to me and protect me?
I'd like to see the ghost that could get between us.
There'll be a slight wait inside for all seats.
Oh, he says they'll be waiting, Throckmorton.
How many, please?
How long will we have to wait, miss?
The next complete showing will begin at 9:53. How many, please?
9:53? That's half an hour, Leela. Do you want to wait?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, make up your mind.
Oh.
Stepping to one side, please. Keeping the line moving, please.
Shutting the mouth, please.
Throckmorton.
Well, they can't push me around. Evidently, our patronage is not wanted here, Leela. Let's go somewhere else.
I declare, Throckmorton, I've never seen Summerfield so crowded.
Why don't these people stay home nights? Well, I suppose we could at least drop in here and get a soda. Would you like a soda?
I don't know. Would you?
I don't know. Would you?
Oh, look, a little boy in a mask.
Well, that's more like it. That's the first real sign of Halloween.
Oh, well, what's that thing he's swinging around?
Oh, that's a sock filled with flour. Oh, we used to have more fun with those.
Oh, he isn't going to hit somebody with it.
What do you think it's for?
Hello, little boy.
Hello there, Sonny. What's your name? Cat got your tongue, huh? You're not Piggy Banks, are you?
You're not going to hit anybody with that, are you, little boy?
Yes, careful now. Careful how you swing that. I'll tell you what, if you go away, I'll give you a nickel. Listen, if you hit anybody... Look out now. If you're Piggy Banks, I'll tell your mother. Did you hear what I said? If you come near me with that, I'll...
Come back here, you. I dare you.
Let me brush y'all, Throckmorton.
I think you might show a little more consideration, Leela.
Oh, but you look so funny, darling. Come on, let's go in and get a soap.
Well.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Peavy.
And Mr. Gildersleeve. Well, has it been snowing out?
No, it hasn't been snowing. The lady here would like a soda.
Well, aren't you going to have anything, Throckmorton?
I got something.
Oh, well, if you're not going to have anything, I'm not going to have anything.
All right. Soda for me, too. Chocolate.
Chocolate it shall be.
How have you been, Mr. Peavy?
Oh, just fine, Mr. Ransom, just fine. You two been out doing the town?
Well, if you could call it that. Halloween isn't what it used to be, Peavy.
No, Mr. Gildersleeve, it isn't. And maybe it's just as well.
Why?
Well, I remember one Halloween. Harry, it's a lucky thing we didn't all land in jail.
Well, what did you do, Mr. Peavy?
Well, you know how boys are, Mrs. Ransom. I remember it was a dark night like this one. It was out at old Mr. Thatcher's house, crabby old fellow. Maybe you remember the house, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, we'd planned this thing for weeks, and it was dark, as I say, so we appointed one boy as a lookout, and then we hid in the bushes till the coast was clear.
Oh, yeah? Go on.
Then when we got the signal, we sneaked across the lawn.
Yeah?
We tiptoed up the front steps.
Uh-huh.
Crawled on our hands and knees across the porch.
Yeah?
And stuck a pin in his doorbell.
Peavy, you didn't.
Yes, sir, and I want to tell you, I got out of there just fast as my legs would carry me.
Peavy, I wouldn't have believed it if you hadn't told me yourself.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Gildersleeve. I didn't actually stick the pin in the bell myself.
Oh?
I stayed behind in the bushes. But if they ever found out that pin came out of my lapel...
It just came out of my
Throckmorton, you know what I think?
Know what?
I think we ought to have a Halloween party. An old-fashioned one where you bob for apples and stick pins and things.
But it's too late, Leela.
Oh, no, it's not. Tomorrow's Halloween, really. We could have it at your house.
But Leela...
Oh, don't be an old killjoy. Now, who we have? Oh, you come, won't you, Mr. Peavy?
Well, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to, Mrs. Ransom. You see, Mrs. Peavy gets a little nervous around Halloween, so I usually stick pretty close to home till it blows over.
Oh, too bad. Well, there's Judge Hooker. We'll have to have the judge.
Yeah, for laughs.
Now, who else?
Well, we ought to have another girl.
Oh, do you think we need to?
For the judge. You know, the old goat likes to think he's Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, well, who can we get? I don't seem to know many women somehow.
Oh? Well, there's a Miss, Goodwin, I think her name is.
Goodwin? I don't seem to recall.
I only know her slightly.
Oh, well, how does it happen I've never heard you mention her before?
Well, I say I know her. I've met her, that's all. She's the principal of the school.
Oh, a school teacher.
Yeah, school teacher.
Well, that sounds perfect for the judge.
Yeah. Oh, you know her, don't you, Peavy?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's... perfect for the judge.
Yes. Perfect for the judge.
She can't be that perfect.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that she was...
Thanks for the sodas, Peavy. Gotta be running along.
Oh, but Throckmorton, I've hardly finished.
Gotta get going before the crowd gets out of the movie.
Oh, gracious, how you rush again.
Oh, forgot to pay. Peavy, did anybody ever tell you you talk too much?
Why, no,
well,
I...
consider yourself told. Good night, Peavy.
All right, that is the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve from Halloween of 1943. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Carl?
Yes?
I know the best way to keep myself warm this winter.
Oh, yeah?
I figured it out.
Really?
Yep. It's heat holders.
Move to Miami?
Yeah, or
uh-huh.
Heat holders. One or the other.
It'll be a lot less complicated.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Heat holders makes the warmest socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's so soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable and dry, making Heat Holders the softest and most comfortable socks, guaranteed. Heat Holders will pamper your feet. Heat Holders also makes hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com, use the code WGN, and save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Remember, go to heatholders.com and use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com.
All right, heatholders.com. I love it. And I'm loving the socks.
Oh, we have the socks and I have the little blanket. So yeah, I'm really happy about that,
I'm going to get the gloves and the hat.
I'm waiting for that. Thank you.
So, folks, make sure you go to their website, heatholders.com, and use the promo code WGN. Also get free shipping, $25 or more on the order. Okay, it's time now for more with the great Gildersleeve. Let's go back to a broadcast date of Halloween 1943, the conclusion to the Halloween party on the great Gildersleeve.
Here at last, and the great Gildersleeve is ready for it, come what may. Leroy has carved a pumpkin, and Bertie has prepared some refreshments.
Don't they teach you any poetry in school these days, Leroy?
Oh, sure. I woke up in the morning and looked upon the wall. There was a flea and a bedbug having a game of ball.
Leroy, you didn't learn that poem in school.
Oh, I did, too. Piggy taught it to me during geography.
Yes. By George, I'm going to ask your teacher to change your seat. I can see Piggy's a bad influence on you.
I doubt if Leroy's doing Piggy any good either.
Oh, is that so? Who asked you to put in your 2 cents?
Well, you're certainly just as bad as Piggy.
I suppose his sister's been shooting off her big mouth.
Leroy?
She has not.
Well, I could tell a few things about you and her and Wally Huff.
For instance...
Quiet! I'm expecting guests here any minute. You think I want them to walk into this kind of a cat and dog fight?
Well, he's ordered it.
Stop it, or I'll finish it. I'll not have this kind of goings on. Leroy, where are you going?
Out on the porch.
What for?
Jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. It's a very good idea. Make a cheery welcome for my guests. What are your plans, Marjorie? Would you like to stay here and enjoy a little old-fashioned Halloween fun for a change?
Oh, gee, do I have to?
Certainly not, my dear. What were you thinking of doing this evening?
Well, Wally and I were going down to Brownie's Beanery for a while. Some of the gang's going to be there.
I certainly dislike that boy.
Oh, he grows on you, Uncle Moore.
Why, George, you won't get a chance to grow on me. Hi-ho. Well, I'll have a real Halloween anyway. I'll see how Leroy's coming with the jack-o'-lantern. Real Halloween air. Gosh, dark as a pants pocket out here. Where is that kid? Leroy!
Hi, Unc.
I didn't see you, Leroy. Confound it. How many times have I told you it's not funny to scare people?
I wasn't trying to scare you. You called me and I answered.
Well, all right, but be careful. Why haven't you lit the jack-o'-lantern?
The wind keeps blowing out the matches.
Nonsense. There's no wind at all tonight.
It comes in puffs.
Well, give me those matches and I'll show you how a woodsman lights a fire.
Where's the woodsman?
Just watch me.
Okay. Say, isn't this Judge Hooker coming?
Where? I don't see anybody. Oh, well, it may be at that. Hello, Judge.
Hi, Gildy.
Yeah, trust him to get here first.
Hi, Judge.
Hello, Leroy. Well, Throckmorton, happy Halloween. Am I the first one? Oh, no.
Leroy here.
Confound it, Gildersleeve. What's the idea?
It wasn't my idea, Judge. But anyway, happy Halloween. Stand here by the fire, Judge, and you'll be dry in no time.
Doggone that kid.
Now, Judge, boys will be boys.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you put him up to it.
Why, Horace.
You laughed.
Well, I couldn't help it. I'm always laughing. Now, let's cheer up, Judge.
Maybe that's my girl.
Your girl?
Miss Goodwin.
What makes you think she's your girl?
All right, I'm easy to please. I'll take Leela.
Oh, no, you won't. Leela's my girl, you old goat.
I'd rather be a goat than a hog.
Come in. We were just talking about you.
I knew it. I could feel my ears burning.
Yeah, they're still pink at that. let me take your coat.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my, the house looks lovely. I think Halloween decorations are so exciting, don't you?
I certainly do.
Oh, good evening, Horace.
Good evening, Leela.
What a wonderful idea, coming in your old clothes. I just love old clothes parties.
This is my new suit, Leela. Or it was when I left home.
Well, what happened?
Gildersleeve's little nephew played a Halloween prank that soaked me to the skin.
Oh, how awful. That doesn't sound like Leroy Throckmorton.
It's my idea of Leroy.
Oh, mercy, the judge might have caught pneumonia.
Oh, don't worry about me, Leela. I'm a pretty tough old rooster.
Oh, well, let's forget all about it and have a nice Halloween. Where's your lady friend, Horace?
Miss Goodwin? Oh, she's not my lady friend. Not according
to... Now, Horace, can't you take a joke?
Seems to me I'm being asked to take a good many this evening.
That must be Miss Goodwin now, Judge. Why don't you go and let her in?
Well, thank you.
What did Horace mean about her not being his lady friend, Throckmorton?
Oh, nothing. Just his peculiar sense of humor.
Good evening, Miss Goodwin.
Good evening, Judge Hooker. So nice to see you again.
Permit me to take your rest.
Throckmorton?
Yes, Leela?
I thought you said she was a school teacher.
She is, Leela.
Well, she dresses like the school teachers in Esquire.
Now, Leela.
Here we are. Mrs. Ransom, may I present Miss Goodwin?
How do you do? It's so nice to meet you. Good evening, Throckmorton.
Well.
Hello, Eve.
Well. Why didn't you tell me Miss Goodwin and you were such old friends, Throckmorton?
Well,
Since he's been on the school board, we've seen a good deal of each other, Mrs. Ransom.
I see.
Well, well. Nothing so much fun as a Halloween party, is there? Or is there? You don't have the right technique for apple bobbing, Judge.
Oh.
You have to follow the apple right down to the bottom and get your teeth in it.
Oh, I could never do that. I'd ruin my hair.
I wouldn't mind. Let me try it.
Well.
Yes, I'll show you, Eve. Stand back, everybody.
Wait a minute, Gildy, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you will now witness a death-defying exhibition by Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, diving into 1 foot of water from the stupendous height of 6 inches.
Oh, Horace, y'all simply a scream. I declare I think you're funnier than Bob Hope.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Yeah, neither would I. Look, I'll show you now how to get the apple.
How you doing, Gildy?
Mrs. Throckmorton, come up for air. You'll drown.
Don't worry about it, Mrs. Ransom. He has wonderful breath control.
Well.
Gildersleeve, you look exactly like a roast pig.
I know what we ought to do now. Let's tell ghost stories.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Eve. I know a real thriller.
Ghost stories never scare me.
Yeah, it'll scare you if we turn out the lights. Turn off the lights, will you, Judge?
All right.
There.
I'm still not a bit scared.
You will be. Once there was an old haunted house way out on the edge of a swamp. There was a ghost in the house who was trying to find his murdered wife. And he used to go through the house every night at midnight saying, ooh, ooh,
ooh. Ooh, I'm frightened already.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous myself.
Oh, poo.
Well, one night, some hunters were passing near the house when it got real dark. And not knowing the reputation of the place, they decided to spend the night there. So they went up to the door, and just then...
Oh, Throckmorton, this is silly.
I think it's fun.
I know a game that's lots more fun in the dark than telling ghost stories.
Well, what is it, Leela?
Sardines.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of sardines?
No.
Oh, well, the way you play it, one person hides in the dark, and then all the others try to find him. Or her. And when you find the person, you don't say anything. You just stand as close to him as you possibly can till all the others find you. That's sardines.
Oh, well, I can see it's got possibilities.
Yeah, let's try it. Miss Goodwin, why don't you be the first to hide?
Why, Horace, I suggested the game.
Now, you can hide next.
Yeah, very fair, Judge. Go ahead and hide, Eve, while I count 50.
Well, I don't know any places, but... Oh, all right.
All right. 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. All right, Eve, here we come. Who left that chair there?
Oh, doggone it!
The judge is having a little trouble, too, I can see. What's this?
Now, Throckmorton.
Who is it?
You ought to know.
What am I supposed to do now?
Stand close to me.
Can't stand any closer, can I?
What's going on here, anyhow?
Hey, no fair turning on the lights.
Throckmorton Gildersleeve.
Now, Leela.
Well, if I'd known there were this kind of people in the game, I never would have suggested it.
Mrs. Ransom.
Don't you try to shush me.
I wonder if you'd mind taking me home, Judge.
But, Eve, the party's just begun.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's all over.
Now, wait a minute. Leela, please. Eve, please. Leela.
Oh, who invented Halloween anyway? You don't understand.
I understand very well, Throckmorton. Take me home, please.
But they've all gone, Leela. I want to explain.
There's nothing to explain. I turn the lights on and I find you pawing that school teacher.
Leela, if you could just listen.
Let go of my arm, please, Throckmorton. Will you open the door for me?
Oh, God.
Thank you. Now, do you want me to walk home by myself?
I'll take you if you're really determined. Leela.
School teacher. She must be a fine school teacher.
Well, she is.
Oh, that's right. Stick up for her.
I'm not sticking up for her. She didn't do anything. I thought she was you.
Throckmorton, that's a ridiculous barefaced fib. She's wearing Chanel number 5, and I always use Shalimar.
Well, Leela, I don't know one perfume from another. To me, they both smell good.
I don't care to hear any more, Throckmorton. Oh, look out!
Oh, my goodness. You can't leave me here in this... Wait till I get my hands on Leroy.
Don't blame Leroy, Gildy. Happy Halloween!
Music heard on this program with Elvis Presley Club Suite. And this is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This year, thousands of women all over the country are discovering what a special help with wartime meals is the product called Kraft Dinner. A box of Kraft Dinner gives them enough delicious macaroni and cheese for 4 people at only a few cents a serving. They get 2 boxes of Kraft Dinner for only 1 single ration point. And with Kraft Dinner, they cook that delicious main dish in just 7 minutes. In every Kraft Dinner box, there's a special macaroni that cooks fluffy tender in boiling water and an envelope of Kraft grated. With this handy Kraft grated, you whisk cheese goodness through and through the fluffy macaroni in a jiffy. A very smart trick is to shape the hot Kraft dinner in a ring mold for a minute or two, unmold on a platter, and serve with creamed vegetables or fish or a little meat. But just as is, Kraft dinner gives you a mighty fine main dish. Try this 7-minute macaroni and cheese soon. At your food store, be on the alert for point-saving Kraft dinner. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Lisa, did you take notes on how to do that Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner?
What is amazing about that is we still make Kraft macaroni and cheese in our house
and
anyways.
And we put vegetables in it.
Vegetables. We don't use vegetables.
And so you you did write that all down because, you know, now
it
your
might
kids
be a few extra steps for me.
They can actually eat, you know, instead of going hungry in
well,
your house.
Well, now they're big enough to make it all by
they
themselves.
They can make their own, right? Yeah, that was The Great Gildersleeve from October 31st, 1943. A good Halloween show sponsored by Kraft with Hal Perry as The Great Gildersleeve.